Don't forget to visit marketingcasts.com to find even more custom curated marketing podcasts just like this one. That's marketingcasts.com.
Hi, this is Sean Halter, host of the CMO Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and catch up on all the previous episodes at www.thecmosuite.com.
This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconex. Uconex provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconex. Visit them today at uconex.com and No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. Visit them at nokidhungry.org.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. Winmo tracks every national advertiser, their agency relationships, and key executives within each organization. Get instant media spend, competitor tracking, and industry trend analysis in one easy-to-use application that integrates with all major CRM platforms. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.
Finally, the CMO Suite is presented by thecmocouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000-plus members control more than $550 billion in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You are listening to the CMO Suite. This is your host, Sean Halter. This is the kickoff to season 5. As a reminder, the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconex. Uconex provides biddable media solutions to agencies and buyers of media across the U.S. and internationally. I am ridiculously excited to have as my guest, I'm actually going to say returning guest, and I'm going to explain that shortly. It's Cynthia Kleinbaum. Cynthia Kleinbaum is with Walmart Plus. Cynthia, tell us about your title and your time at Walmart, and then we're going to dig into the roots. Remind everybody what your title is currently with Walmart Plus.
Sure. It's a long title. VP of Marketing for Walmart Plus, which is Walmart's first ever membership, our mobile app, and online pickup and delivery.
So people can forgive me if I ask you to throw that title out there, because it's a long one, right?
It's really long.
You know, at least it's not
basically the innovation, like where the innovation is happening at Walmart. Those are the teams that I'm supporting.
So if we are thinking of Walmart innovation, we should just be thinking Cynthia Kleinbaum and also lots of other people.
Lots and lots of other people.
Well, welcome. I'm going to say welcome back to the show. And I'm going to explain why that is. We did a session with Cynthia last year. Of course, everything that's going on with COVID, we were not able to produce out of New York City. So we were producing at a friend of ours who has a podcast studio, and the recording got corrupted. I'm not sure why. It wasn't my studio, so I couldn't kick and scream too much. But since then, we've built our own in-house podcast studio, and we've been doing all of season 5. From there, we are excited to kick this season off, and we're excited to kick it off with you. So in essence, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. You guys missed all the smart things I said last time. Let's see if this one is.
I got to keep them. So that's the beauty of it. I got a bunch of really good content from there, but I'm going to keep it to myself. It's good personal stuff. And we'll try to rehash some of those highlights, starting specifically with where you grew up. So tell everybody that story, because again, I think that is very interesting to talk about.
I was born in Mexico City and I grew up there. My first job was there in Nestle as a brand manager of different beverages brands. The most representative, the one that I spent most time in, was Nesquik. So you can imagine my first job was a lot of fun selling chocolate to kids.
I was going to say, it's all about, you know, the good stuff, the stuff we love as kids. And did you go to school in Mexico as well? Because you ended up ultimately with a business master's degree at Harvard at some point as well, correct?
Yes, but I went to college in Mexico, worked at Nestle, then went to business school at HBS. And at that point in my career, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that I needed to explore something outside of marketing. And I took a job at the Boston Consulting Group, did consulting for 3 years, learned a lot. And primarily, I learned that I wanted to go back to marketing, but now with all the frameworks that consulting gives you. This was 2011. Basically, I did not know anything about digital marketing, and everything was moving that way. So I made the decision to go to a startup. It wasn't a true startup, but it was much smaller than my experience. I went to Guild Group to learn to do digital marketing there. And since then, I worked at different companies in e-commerce. And I came to Walmart, the largest company in the world, to work in the startups within Walmart. So it's almost like the culmination of my career from like big company to small company to a small company within a big company.
We talked a little bit the last time that we talked. I want to talk about your family just a little bit. But the analogy I think that I may have used was similar to Fernando Machado, just in that, you know, here's somebody who's smart. They didn't necessarily know what they were going to do. And then some happenstance comes along and suddenly you end up kind of going, oh, marketing might be a really good fit for me. But you bring an international flavor plus really a, what I would say, maybe not a traditional marketer's mindset to marketing, which really to me is what's allowed, has allowed him to certainly be able to kind of build a relationship with marketing that's unique. And for you, I think as well, perhaps because of that, you've brought this different mindset to it. And by doing so, what's really allowed you to kind of evolve your career. And as you said, ultimately end up at Walmart, really talking about innovation and really building out the innovation for them. So I definitely want to spend a lot of our time on Walmart. You've done some amazing stuff that's there. But let's talk about your family for just a second. What did your mom and dad do when you were a kid?
Well, my mom was a history teacher, but she actually passed away when I was a baby. So I grew up with my dad, okay, who was and still is a businessman. He has a trading business. So a hustler and a businessman. And I have a lot of dentists in my family. I have four uncles and aunts that are dentists. And then I have a brother and an uncle who are actors. So very diverse, a very diverse family, both scientists and arts, which I think is what marketing is.
Yeah. So, well, your teeth look great. So you can definitely tell there's some dentists in your family. And your brother lives in Miami?
He lives in Miami, yes.
And is he still acting or what's he doing with most of his time?
Telemundo. He works for soap operas, for telenovelas in Telemundo, and he's usually the bad guy. So
really?
Ricardo Kleinbaum, yes.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me that the last time. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's so, so interesting. So he's a soap opera actor.
He's a soap opera actor, yes. And I think I'm an actress too on my day-to-day, by the way. I think that what I do as a marketer has a little bit of acting.
There's definitely an element of sales or acting in this industry because really you're telling a story. You know, you're telling a story, whether your job is sales or it isn't, whatever it is, when you're in marketing, you're ultimately trying to do that. You're trying to help somebody to better understand what your product is or what it does. And the more we can tell that as a story, the more it feels like you're solving a problem as opposed to just selling somebody something. I'm going to stay on life in Mexico for just a second. Then we're going to rear right into to Walmart for the back half of this. And then offline, you and I can talk more about your brother, because I think there's probably some amazing stories there. But your dad raised you predominantly as a single parent.
Yeah.
How do you think that may have shaped your life?
Well, I think he raised me to be really strong and to be really independent. And that's what I am today, even though, of course, I mean, I have a family and I have a partner. I am independent and I try to also enable other women to feel the way that I feel, because one thing that has happened in my career that I've seen not happening to a lot of women is I've never actually felt like being a woman is it's a weakness. And I think it's in part because my dad raised me like to think whatever you want to do, you can do it and just go for it. So I was like, okay, I'll go for it.
Yeah, you know, you and I previously actually talked about that. And so again, it's important. It's important to cover that subject at least a little bit, because to your point, you don't know what you don't know as a kid, right? You were raised predominantly by your father, and because he was a male raising kids, he probably raised you the best, you and your brother, that he thought that he could. And there's some innate qualities perhaps in men in how we may or may not think that our kids should be raised. And there's perhaps some innate qualities in mothers, which again, that's evolving and changing. But maybe because that's how it was, to your point, you just grew up the way that you grew up. You grew up completely independently to some extent, kind of feeling like this is what I want to do and how I'm going to do it. And it shouldn't matter if I'm male or female. And to your dad, I'm sure it was like, yeah, it shouldn't matter. Just let's go do this. Let's go figure that out. And so it's brought you that quality, a quality that I'm sure as you've gone through marketing, maybe hasn't been there entirely, but does seem to be evolving and changing. There's something special to me about powerful people who are female, who basically have said, whatever those norms are, I'm not living my life that way. I'm living it this way, independently. Love me or not, this is me and how I'm going to do it. And by doing so, you're bringing all of these others along with you. Still not maybe entirely there, but it does seem like it's continuing to evolve. Yes.
I mean, to take this a little bit even further, I grew up in the Jewish community of Mexico, which is the tiny community.
Told me that, yes.
Where women are or were not back then educated or raised to prioritize their careers. I'm not saying that my friends didn't work, but I'm saying it wasn't their priority. And my dad just broke every norm because he was a single dad with two kids doing his best. So I never doubted. I always wanted to work. Like, is anybody going to be doubting me? I've never felt like I'm less or that I have to prove myself more.
Well, I can guarantee you that you're the first person from Mexico of Jewish origin on the CMO suite. So, you know, you checked that box right there, which is awesome.
And I'm very used to being the first Latin American Jew in the room, for sure.
I'm going to leave that there because I don't know what else I would say. But again, I think like anything else, the more voices we have that are different. I grew up fairly poor in a mostly urban neighborhood. I was honestly one of the only white kids in my school. And you don't know what you don't know as a kid. Everybody's just your friend. It doesn't matter if they're white or black or Jewish or not Jewish. I do think most of that is taught. And I think that through education, you know, the first person that you meet that's African American, if you treat them normal and they treat you normal, then that normalizes the relationship. I think communication, marketing, everything we can bring to the table, we're all just here trying to do our best. And I think the more we can hopefully continue to bring that out in the marketplace, the better we're all going to be for it. Now let's jump into some business part of
some
business.
Some
worky stuff, right? Which is how we get to pay our bills and do everything else and the impact that COVID, you know, perhaps has or hasn't had on all of us as consumers. Again, maybe that's brought us, you know, full circle in realizing we're all just humans, we're all just people, and technology maybe perhaps is kind of level setting that in many ways. And so let's talk about technology and really the impact that it's had with your current position. So Walmart, massive retailer, massive brick and mortar out in the marketplace, certainly always a leader when it comes to anything, you know, on the consumer side. They at some point really decided, yep, we definitely need to make sure that we're not investing, but reinvesting into that user experience. And the fact that they had done so prior to COVID at the scale that they had allowed them to be here and ready exactly when that hit.
Absolutely.
And so how did that happen?
Well, I think that the consumers were starting to shift some of their purchases online. And Walmart is the largest retailer in the world, obviously the largest retailer in the US, and probably the one experiencing the most the pain, right? When people start going to somewhere else to spend their dollars. So it's been years since Walmart started to invest in their e-commerce presence. It's been years since Walmart started to invest in bringing the grocery experience online, which is something that other companies are following. And I think like our competitors are realizing that the grocery trip is the trip that defines where somebody goes on a weekly basis. Wherever you go get your groceries, that's where you're going to go get the extra thing that you needed that week. So Walmart invested in that. Walmart was already the largest online grocer in the country when COVID hit. So we were better positioned than anyone to serve the customers when they needed contactless delivery, contactless pickup.
It did feel like, again, you guys were 2 or almost 3 years kind of ahead of everybody else in just being ready. And perhaps it was the moments of COVID at the same timely, you know, opportunity that you guys were really starting to talk about what you were in the marketplace. And those just seemed to align for whatever that reason. Yeah, there was a conversation, a story to be told. At the same time, there was a huge mass need. And the fact that you guys are so big, you were prepared for it. and perhaps prepared for that volume that then started to come your way in ways that others probably couldn't or wouldn't, or just broke along the way. So from what you saw, you know, starting around last March or April, how did that shift impact you guys at Walmart Plus? How quick did you feel?
I mean, we had to accelerate a lot of the initiatives that we were thinking, oh, it's going to take us many months to bring this to market. Like, let's take our time, which is usually very fast.
Of course.
That we work at Walmart, but we had to bring to life things in a matter of weeks instead of months, because yes, we were the largest one, but we also had the most demand, and we weren't ready to supply the demand that came our way. And many people that are listening to us probably are thinking, I tried to place an order and there was no slot. It's true, like there was no capacity. We were selling more than we could. We were having to invest more and more on our supply chain and fulfillment. And there is a lot more that we still have to do. But right now, Walmart has 3,000 stores across the country that you can order online. That is like unprecedented. No other company in the US is positioned to fulfill online grocery orders like we are, but there's demand for more.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You know, I've done over 50 episodes of the CMO Suite at this point. We had Cynthia Chen on, who was also a returning guest. That story is even more interesting as to why her first episode didn't air. We'll talk about that offline. But that said, when we talked to her, we talked about supply chain, something I never would have talked about on any previous show. And that conversation, if you haven't listened to it, go back to season 4, Cynthia Chen with RB. That conversation was so amazing and just so interesting, and just the impact truly of supply chain on retailers, which is still being impacted, maybe not to the same extent as it was back in April or May, where you couldn't find toilet paper or you couldn't find, you know, Clorox wipes or any of that stuff, no matter who you were. How were you guys able to adapt around some of that? Was it in telling the story to consumers of we're working as hard as we can with our suppliers, or how did that story kind of get told?
Well, I think there's two parts to it. One of them is, the reputation of the brand and bringing in front and center in our marketing, how we are both trying to take care of our associates to make sure that we're not risking them, and also adapting to the nature of new customer needs. So there was definitely an effort from a marketing perspective. But then on the other side, to go back to what you were saying, we have to work a lot with our supply chain and our operations partners. I think we are past the time when marketing and supply chain were not talking to each other. Think about simple elements of our marketing, which is search. If a product is not in your local store, I shouldn't be buying a search keyword for that product. I shouldn't be showing
Absolutely.
It to you. You're going to end up in the product page and you're not going to be able to convert. So for us to be able to flex our marketing dollars and invest where there is availability of slots, where there is availability of product, required a lot of collaboration with our supply chain partners.
Stay on that for just a second, because it's interesting that, again, you guys are always thinking about that. I'm not going to talk about a competitor on this podcast, but I've been looking for an Xbox X. I don't know if you know anybody at Walmart that can help me out with that, but it's been sold out for months.
I'm trying to.
Okay, fine. Well, listen, we'll work on it together. In fact, that was the whole reason for this podcast, was I was hoping that you could just help me get an Xbox X. But there's a competitor to Walmart, not as big, that's still buying Xbox X as a keyword. And then, of course, when you click on it, it takes you straight to the out of stock page. And you just almost have to wonder, well, why are you still buying this? Who's falling asleep at the wheel? Because not only are you wasting money, but you're making it not a great user experience, because the users are going to think, oh, this is an advertising that this is available. And then you go there and it's not there. So, again, interesting. You guys are being super thought forward with that. What's next for Walmart Plus?
Well, Walmart Plus is just starting. Walmart Plus is going to have a lot more benefits. It's like it's going to be a more robust membership, and it's a positive. Like the flywheel works the more that you use it. So the beauty of Walmart Plus is in the digital relationship that we're building with our customers, and the more somebody engages with us digitally, the more we get to know them, and the better we can interact with them, the better we can personalize their experience. So I think in the future, it's going to feel a lot more seamless than it feels now. Purchases are going to feel much more automated. You're going to feel like you used to feel when you would go to a super center and you would talk to the store manager who knew you well enough to recommend you things in the store, both from the retail side and not the retail side, right? Like the super center used to be the place where you would go for everything you needed. You could go to the pharmacy, you could go cash a check, do your groceries, get a pizza, get your car serviced, get a manicure, like all these things that you needed, you just go to the super center, get it all done. And we are trying to bring a lot of the assets that Walmart has to the digital world as part of Walmart Plus.
I think, again, as you continue to do that, especially with changes like Apple's making with IDs and with security, you'll find some brands that you really trust. And once you trust those brands, you know that you trust them with your user experience to make that experience the best it possibly can. I do think that advertising shift will continue to shift in some ways to more trusted brands where, again, I know what experience I'm going to get, to your point. I don't mind that you know what I buy on Tuesdays, and please recommend that I buy that next Tuesday. I think I'd rather have that from Walmart Plus than, again, some nameless social media platform that I know is actually taking all of my information and selling it 55 different ways. So let's talk about you as a marketer. Again, we are super lucky to have Cynthia Kleinbaum with us with Walmart Plus. As a marketer, you've been there for a couple of years now. Talk about what you've loved about being there and maybe what you feel like you've learned the most yourself over that 2.5-3 year journey.
I mean, when you work at Walmart, you realize the power of the scale and the power that you have to make people's lives better. When I started, I was working in the consumables business, which included healthcare. And At that point, I was thinking, if I can pull this off, if I can create a campaign, we were working on a campaign about making healthy decisions with your eating habits. You can actually change the way that America eats, the way that they interact with their own body, with their health. So the scale has been what excites me the most. And of course, the ability to bring a company of that scale to the next stage of their growth, which is going to be omnichannel, like being part of the team that is making it happen. I feel like it's a once in a lifetime experience that many people don't get to experience. So I feel like I'm so lucky that I was in the right place at the right time when all of this was happening and I was able to contribute.
What do you wish you knew more about? What's an area of marketing that if you just had time, which none of us have, that you'd say, man, I really wish I knew how to do this, or I knew more about this, or I could find out more about this? What's that for you?
For me, and I am getting better at that, would be PR, corporate communications, because I started my career in traditional CPG marketing. So I would say I know how to build brands. I know how to go from customer insight to building a product, a brand, launching it, go to market. Then I worked on digital media, so I can also understand that piece. The one missing link that I had, and I have been able to actually work on it more at Walmart, because Walmart is such a powerhouse when it comes to talking to the press and to getting the attention of the press, I've been able to learn how do you unlock that channel. How do you tell a story in a way that the press wants to take it, make it their own, and amplify your message? And that's not something that I think you learn either as a traditional CPG marketer or as a digital marketer. And to be honest, I used to poo-poo it. I was like, yeah, whatever. You just put a press release out and that's it. If you can unlock that, it's free.
Almost. It's powerful. Yeah.
So if you can, and it's so, so authentic, you know, like if you get the press to talk about it in their own terms, you don't tell them exactly what they should say. You just give them what you're saying about it and they can totally interpret it differently. And it tells you a lot about how people actually perceive what you're putting out there. So that would be it.
Well, what a great point. Again, we ask that question lots of times on the podcast. Normally the answer is, I wish I understood programmatic more, or I wish I could figure out how to be a coder or front-end coding. I don't think I've ever gotten the answer of organic PR, earned media to some extent. But to your point, again, that's as valuable as almost anything else. Anything that isn't that is a form of paid advertising to some extent. Even our social, that's organic. If it's a message we're putting out, it's advertising. You hope you're telling a great story with it. That's the joy of advertising, is telling that story. But there is, to your point, an amazing sense of authentication or authentication when we've told our story to somebody and they interpret it in their own words without a financial incentive, and are able to come out and kind of say, this is what our experience is. In most cases, that's hopefully a good experience. There's also value sometimes if it's not a good experience, because it helps you to get honest feedback in the room of, hey, this is the part I didn't love about this. Last question for you. Again, thank you so much for joining and or rejoining us on the show. Who do you feel like, outside of your dad perhaps, has been the biggest impact on your life? Who is somebody out there that's really impacted your life, and why? Hard question.
My husband.
Your husband? Yeah.
Yeah. Because also he has helped me professionally a lot. He's a good listener, and he asks the right questions. So we make my career decisions together, because we're partners in life. I think we are both vested in my career and in my success. But he's very different from my dad, and it's a good counterbalance between my dad, who's very strong and will give me his opinion and will push through, and my husband, who will ask questions that are very insightful and make me see things differently and many times change my mind, which has been something that I learned a lot from him. Like, the more information you get, the more comfortable you should feel changing your mind. Maybe you weren't so right in the beginning.
That is a great point. And listening is, that is such a challenging skill set sometimes, whether it's a work wife or husband, or home wife or husband. And so that's beautiful that you guys have been able to achieve that. Well, listen, Cynthia Kleinbaum, thank you so much for joining us as we kick off season 5 with you. I'm really excited to watch the journey of Walmart Plus. I was incredibly excited that you said thank you to be on the show, not just once, but twice. And I'm definitely going to have to do some more digging and watch some clips from your brother, because I find having a brother or a sister, anybody in your life that's a soap opera actor, to be just absolutely fascinating.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the show. Thanks.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. Podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. UConnex provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to UConnex today for a free demo. UConnex, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.
Don't forget to visit marketingcasts.com to find even more custom curated marketing podcasts just like this one. That's marketingcasts.com.